Very often, we wonder why some people grow, and then we wonder why some don't. I mean, perhaps as leader, I've been ministering in the church now for 16, 17 years, and it always being in the back of my head, like, why is it that some people grow faster than others, and why is it that some people hardly grow? I mean, perhaps you ever wonder that as well. Scripture tells us why. It's in the Bible the reason why some people don't grow as fast as others, and it's, the Bible tells us why some people hardly grow. Now, like I said, wouldn't you like to know what keeps people from growing? Why some grow faster than others? Why they might be in the church for like decades and still you don't see a lot of growth or maturity in them? I mean, the Bible tells us why. There's a reason why. And then finally, I have done this sermon before and I never saw it. And it's almost like God's trying to reveal something new to me. As leaders, you know, sometimes we get hard on ourselves because like, and a lot of times in our society, people think that, oh, the leader is the one that grows the church. And we take the job from God and appoint it to the leaders. Now, like Matthew was talking about, the leader might plant or water, but God ultimately is the one that makes it grow. Not me, nobody else. Jesus is the one. You see, I find comfort in that text because we, like I said, we know it. We perhaps even in Sunday school, you read that story. Three of the gospel writers, they tell us about it. It's the parable of the soils or the parable of the sower. You see, a seed will not grow the same way depending on the soil on which you plant it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you don't need to be an expert gardener or farmer, but you get a seed or tomato, it will not grow the same way depending on the soil you used for that seed. The same way, see, the condition of the soil is so important. So the same way, the condition of our hearts is very important for us to develop and grow and mature. Can I say that again? The condition of our hearts is vital in order for us to grow. How your heart is. I mean, Jesus uses a lot of parables during his ministry. And a parable, I mean, the definition we learned in Sunday school was is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Webster defines it. Short story that teaches a moral or spiritual lesson. That's what a parable is. Jesus was an expert in parables. But occasionally we wonder, why did he teach in parables when, you know, why didn't he just tell people what it was? He had a reason why he taught in parables. And we're going to see that today. Now, this thing that we're going to be disclosing, revealing this morning, is called the parable of the sower. We read it so many times. This is like my second sermon or third that I preach on it. And it's going to be different because I discovered something new. I discovered why people don't grow at the same rate. It's a matter of the soil and it's going to be a matter of the heart as we go through in our text. So if you got your Bibles, I'm going to look at the story from Luke's perspective. Mark and Matthew also tell us, but Luke is the expert. He was the physician. He knew a lot, so he did his own research. I like how he brings things into perspective. Chapter 8. Picking it up in verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The twelve were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Interesting. Some women were supporting Jesus' ministry right from the get-go. You don't hear a lot about that. Out of their own means, they were supporting. And we have the name of some of those ladies. That's a great Mother's Day sermon right there for the women. But they were supporting that. And Luke tells us about it. Matthew and Mark, they don't tell us about that particular detail. And then he says, while a large crowd was gathering, the people were coming to Jesus from town after town. He told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. When he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Revelation said, what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. Then he goes into the meaning of the parable. Jesus speaking in parable, I mean, that was his style in teaching. Parables. He would use just common stories, but he had a profound meaning, a spiritual meaning, a spiritual lesson to teach. And here we got the parable of the soil. So, you see, Jesus, you and I need to understand, he was a very busy preacher. I know some of you are very busy. You might not have time for God. You know, I might understand it, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus was the busiest one, but he found time always to reconnect with the Father. And you see here, like, while a large crowd was gathering, people were coming from town to town, and then Jesus began to say, "Hey, a farmer went out to sow his seed." So the first thing you see in the parable is there's a farmer, there's a seed, and there are four types of soil in this parable. The farmer, later on you're going to see, it can be Jesus, it can be anybody who's sowing seed. The seed is the word of God or the message of God. Anybody who's proclaiming the message of God, you are sowing that seed. And then you're going to find out later on, the soils is going to represent your heart. So he goes on and says, you know, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As we were scattering, some fell among the path. There's the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock. On the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And then he said, "Whoever has an ear, let him hear." Jesus then, the text tells us why was the reason he spoke in parable? Because the disciples came and asked, verse 9. And then Jesus said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that even though they see, they might not comprehend. They hear, but they don't understand. Jesus is saying, I speak in parable because I'm separating people that care about the kingdom of God from those who don't care. I speak in parable because I'm separating followers from fans. Remember, Jesus doesn't want fans. Like me on Facebook, that's fans. He doesn't want you to like him on Facebook. Besides, he doesn't have an account either. But, you know, we have followers and fans. During Jesus' time, large crowds, and not all of them were followers of Jesus. You need to understand, that's why he's talking in parable. So whoever wanted to really find out what the parable meant, you know what they did? They came to Jesus. "Hey, we want to know, what's that about?" And then he will explain it. So Jesus said, even though they come, they hear that, but they don't see it. They hear, but they don't understand. And Jesus quoting Isaiah, because Isaiah's time, Isaiah's people, the people that he was preaching to, they were in the same scenario. Isaiah called them, their hearts are calloused. They don't hear. They don't feel anything. So Jesus is separating people that the kingdom of God matters from those that don't care about the kingdom of God. You see, who came to Jesus for an explanation about the parable? The disciples, the followers, fans. You know, I mean, again, if you do a study in the gospel, you know, there were people following Jesus because he fed people. Well, because we're after the food. There were people following Jesus because they wanted to see a miracle. There were people following Jesus because they didn't have any entertainment in society. And this guy can do magic. Let's see what he's going to do next. Just following Jesus, the crowd came together. But there were some, a small number of people followed Jesus because they saw that he had word of eternal life. That's the disciples. And they're the ones that said, "Lord, what's the parable about?" And then he says, the secrets of the kingdom of God is given to you because you want to know about. But to those, I speak in parable because even though they hear me say things, they have no idea what I'm talking about. And then he goes, now, another thing too for us Bible students, every parable has a meaning. You don't have to say like, well, I think that means something. Jesus is going to explain it to us. And this is why, this is exactly what he does right here in verses 11 through 15. Here's the explanation of the parable. Jesus said, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. So we already know what the seed represents. It's being scattered. The word of God is being proclaimed. The seed is the word of God, he said. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word so that from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop, produce fruit. Four kinds of soils we have right here. One seed, the seed is the word of God. But that seed did not do the same, it did not have the same effect on all the four soils. You see, because the productivity of that seed is going to depend on the soil you planted. Are you with me so far? That seed is going to, the productivity of that seed is going to be based on where you planted. So a farmer went out to sow his seed. That's the word of God. He's scattering, and some fell on the path. So the path, my brothers and sisters, symbolizes hard hearts. You and I have friends that it doesn't matter what you tell them about God, like nothing penetrates him. You know what I'm talking about? I have one that I hang out with him, and sometimes I have to tell him, let's talk about something else, because nothing that I have to say to you, you're not going to listen to, because your heart is hard. And, you know, you need God to come and do some chiseling there. The path, you know what a path is. As you walk, the soil is not perfect. You scatter seed, it's not be there. And then he says that Satan come, the birds of the air come and, you know, and eat it. So the seed on the path represents those, you know, hard hearts. It says they hear, but they don't believe. Because, you know, before that seed can do anything, it's taken away from them. They don't believe, and so they don't get saved. So that's what a hard heart is. You know, the Bible always talks about people that who's hardened their hearts to God, and there's nothing you can tell them because they're not listening. It's being taken away. And as you know, the Bible talks about faith comes from hearing. They get to hear, but nothing else happens. And perhaps even in church, you might have people with hard hearts. They hear after church sermons and lessons to go to Bible study, but nothing else changes because maybe their heart is hardened already and the preachers are going to make them change. The soil is being hard. Then he talks about the rock, the rocky soil, and that represents shallow hearts. They hear, they receive it with joy, he even said, but they don't have deep root. They don't have deep roots. They believe until they are tested. And we know, as Christians, we already went through that. We're all going to be tested. That's how you know if they have deep roots or not. Those who are tested, then they fall away. They give up. They throw the towel. The Bible calls it was a shallow response to the gospel that they had. They believe for a while until things get bad and they don't believe anymore. You know, there are Christians like that even. That they might be followers of Jesus for a while until every, you know, as long as things are going well in my life, I'm praising Jesus. But the moment things get out of hand, like I just, you know, I stop going to church, I stop communicating with people, and just like I just go away. Because apparently I expected that if I follow Jesus, everything in my life is going to be okay. It's like, well, I don't know, but Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. It's like he said it already, so you got to expect that. But you see, the shallow response is, I hear, I believe, I'm there for a while singing and praising and joining the choir, whatever it is, and going to fellowship, but I fade away in time of testing. Jesus said, because you don't have deep roots. There's a lot of Christians that they're content to be in the shallow. Even our fellowships can be shallow. We don't really talk about deep things. It's all about, oh, how you doing? I'm doing fine. How about you? Hey, well, how about your life? And we stay in the shallow things, and we never develop roots. The roots are only going to be developed when we let the Word of God penetrate our hearts and getting there. You know, but we're content just like to talk about love and grace. We don't want to go into a lot of deep, like predestination and all the things and things, spiritual gifts. I mean, you know, we get shallow responses. Why did they fall away? Because they had no roots. They're rocks. I mean, you know how it is when some of us want to do gardening, even around Staten Island. There's so much sand because in this island, you have to find a special place you want to plant tomatoes and peppers because the sand is not going to allow it to grow the way you want it. Because the roots have to go deep into the soil, and that rocks is not going to allow it to happen. Then he talks about the thorny soil, the seed that fell on thorns. They hear, they believe, and they go there for a while. I mean, it's almost like they look mature. The only thing that these people don't do is they don't mature. Because they have something growing alongside the Word of God, and the Bible calls that thorns. You know what the thorns are? Look at what Jesus said. They are the life's worries. We all worry about life. Even though Jesus already told us, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has not even come. And who of you is going to add a single hour to your day by worrying? But then he said, trust me because I got this. He said, you, Heavenly Father can feed the animals and the birds and the grass and bring rains. Will he not even take care of you, you of little faith? So in other words, it's like we worry. There are Christians that they're worriers. They worry about everything. And then Jesus said, like, you see, you don't even trust me. Trust me, I got you. If you're my kid, I got you, but you got to trust me. So those are thorns that grow alongside the Word of God. Life's worries. Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go to school? Oh, Lord, you know, I got two offers. I don't know what to do. And God said, like, really? I mean, like, bring it to me. It's just like, I got you. Don't worry. Then the other thing is riches. Like, there's a lot of Christians. They just want to go. They want to be rich. And you know, they get jealous of somebody else that, you know, perhaps they're not serving God. And they got a house. And they have a nice car. And I don't. I've been going to church all these years. And I don't have anything. And now they start comparing themselves. The Bible, Jesus calls that. Those are thorns growing alongside. And they are choking up the Word of God in you because there's no way the Word of God is going to be able to develop in you because you got those things competing with it. Thorns. The other ones is pleasures. You know, we all have all those things around us. Always competing. I mean, right now I'm sowing some seeds and perhaps there's a competition because some of you are already thinking what's going to happen after the service. And that thorn is not letting you focus right now. Or some of you are just waiting for a text of somebody, you know. And it's like pleasures of life, things you cannot concentrate. You cannot even give God 25 minutes of the day and you want Him to bless you. I mean, come on, let's be real. If I were God, I would not bless you. But thank God that I'm not. He's gracious. You know, that's the society we live. May God bless America. Yeah, right, when America is doing their own thing and God's out of the picture and we don't even want Jesus to come to school and pray. Give me a break, America. Now, that was added. That was not part of the sermon, but I just came. That's for free, that part. They're throwing the soil. There's so many things competing. We all hear the Word of God. And you see, that's why sometimes we don't grow, because something else, like you heard it today, you went to a Bible study, and something else that the Bible calls thorn was developing, and that's why you were not able to produce fruit. He choked it. He kept the Word of God from growing, because I worry too much. Riches, I want to pursue something. And Jesus even said in Matthew 6:33, I believe, but seek God's kingdom first, and all those other things are going to be added to you as well. But you got to place me as the first priority. You see, in the thorny soil, the thorny hearts, the only thing that these people did not do was that they did not mature. They were able to, the Word of God was growing, but they just choked it. Then there's the other soil, the good soil, that represents receptive hearts. They're the one who hear, believe, and retain it. There's the key. Retain it. So in other words, the birds of the air did not come and steal it. They were not thorn in that soil. There was not rocks. They retained it. And he says by persevering, they were able to produce fruit intended by the word of God. Do you realize one seed, four different soils, and the seed was, I mean, there was one that the seed was just taken away. Did not do anything. Because God's words, in order for the word of God to penetrate into something, your heart has to be receptive. They're the ones who get to be mature later on. And the word of God produced fruit in their hearts. Like I said, the seed was the same. The word of God, growth and maturity as Christians only comes from God's word. I say that again. Growth and maturity as Christians only comes from the word of God. If you go to camp, if you like to fellowship, that's cool. But if the word of God is not in there, you're not going to mature. You understand what I'm saying? It's nice to go to camp. You get encouraged. Fellowshipping is awesome. But the word of God, if the word of God is not in it, you ain't going to mature. Because it's only by that seed, by the word of God, that you and I can become adult in the faith, mature, and also to be able to produce the fruit that the word of God is intended for us. Maturity without the word of God is impossible. And you wonder why people, I'm not growing, and you know, because they go to church and thinking that maybe the youth group is going to grow you, maybe that fellowship is going to grow you. No, it won't grow you. It won't mature. You know what will mature you? This thing that he gave us. And maybe that might be my last sermon before Jesus takes me home, but you got to hear this very clear. This is what's going to mature you. Not what I create here in this church. Not a program's going to mature you. The word of God is. Because it's the seed that we're planting. And I'm sorry that I had to be a little rough on that, but sometimes, you know, you got expectations on the preacher because you expect me to create a program or something. And when we have all the things that we can take advantage of, like Bible studies and things, and you don't even come to the Bible study, and then you expect to grow. I don't hear any amen today. But that's okay, because, you know, like I said, I finally discovered that. And to me, it's encouraging, because as preachers, we get hard on ourselves. Like, you go to the church and the same people, and we know as preachers, by the way, in case you didn't know, who's maturing in this church and who's not. We can tell. And not because we're prophets, because we work for a non-profit organization, but we can tell who's maturing now, because we know, like, just hearing the conversations, how they answer questions, we know, like, wow, they're moving up to the next level. It's no more like shallow response to the gospel. Now they're ready to go deeper, and they want it. I cannot take you deeper. It's not my job to take you deeper. It's your job. You know what my job is? To scatter the seed. Scatter the seed and let it do. Hopefully it falls on receptive soil. Hopefully it falls into people that are ready to hear that. Let me give you an example of a receptive soil. We have a lady on our Friday night study. She doesn't attend our church. She wanted a Bible study, and she looked up online and she found us online. And then she, you know, I got in touch with her. She came, and she's been attending our Friday. We're going through the study on the book of Revelation. I did the seven churches Revelation, a series I did. She now, it's like crazy about the study. And I'm thinking, like, hold on a moment. I did that 2011. Nobody got crazy about Revelation. But this lady, all of a sudden, she was like, oh, man, this is the greatest thing. Like, God sent me here, and she enjoying fellowship with Jessica and Leo and the Garridos, whoever comes to our study. And it's almost like Fran is there, too. Amazing, like, how she just comes. You know what she does now? By tomorrow, I guarantee you, I get a text and say, would you give me the outline that you're going to be discussing? I got to be on my toes with this lady. Because she just, like, whatever you want to be talking about, and I send it to her, and then because she wants to do the research, that's a receptive heart. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying that you got to be just like her. Well, come on. I mean, you see that she's already searching and doing things, and it's like she cannot wait for Friday just to discuss whatever it is we're going to be talking about. I seen another receptive man in my brother-in-law. He used to be into drugs and things when I was the preacher at that church. And finally, he became a Christian. And that guy just crazy. He goes on vacation, he takes the Bible. He goes everywhere, he takes something to read because he wants to go deeper. And I guarantee you, even if he's listening, if they're listening to this sermon right now, maybe they call me, but I'm going to say it anyways. He has matured more than his sister. Because he's into something. He has this heart, like, I want to know more about the Lord. You know, it's like this hunger. It's like the psalm writer says, as the deer pants for water, and I pant for you. That's, man, holy cow, like we say. That's really somebody who wants to grow in Christ. You see, our job is simple. Our job is just to scatter the seed. You see what I'm saying? I've been scattering seed in this church for a while, and we get some of the new people, and they seem more hungry than some of y'all. Why? Why is that? Because their hearts are more receptive than some of y'all. And they will grow faster than some of you. Growth does not depend how receptive you are to the Word of God. You know, and I'm just telling you about that. I go to the DR and they treat me as a celebrity there. The people come for Bible studies almost like, and they don't give me a break. And I'm thinking, like, these people are hungry. And you see, it's the same Bible study that I teach in here. All I do is translate him. That's the reason why some people don't grow. Because perhaps, you know why? If you're here, you feel I'm not growing. Perhaps you got to examine your heart. It might be hard. Or it might be shallow. Or there might be thorns competing with the Word of God. And you know, it's easy to fix that. You just got to invite God to say, Lord, just break that hard ground. You know, take the thorns away from me because I want to grow. I want to develop. I want to be the man and woman you have called me to be. But I got thorns in me and they're keeping me from growing, from spending time in your word, the word, that seed that's really going to develop me and produce fruit. We don't grow because we might have a heart problem. It may be hard, shallow, or thorny. There are those whose hearts are hardened for years. They listen to the Word of God preach. They go to Bible study. They listen on TV. But if their hearts are hardened, nothing's gonna penetrate them. There are those who hear, believe, and for a while you see them in church, but then they fall away because they have issues. They have trials that come, and because their response was so shallow, they fall away. And remember the question we were asking like in church, on Friday. Like, why is it that sometimes you don't see people in church anymore? Sometimes the response is shallow. And it's like, you know, church is not perfect. You're going to have issues there. We're dealing with people. But then there's like, okay, I got to go. And then they move to another church. And the same issues are going to be there. Others believe, and it seems that they may mature even. But then they let other things grow alongside the Word of God. They compete, you know. There's a lot of things that can become, let me just give you this one. There's a lot of things that can become thorns in my life, in my walk with God. My computer can be a thorn. My Facebook account can be a thorn. Even for your spouse. I got couples sometimes they call me like, well, she doesn't have time for me because she's always on Facebook chatting or doing other things. Really? That's a thorn that's about to split that marriage. So Joy and Dan should listen to that because don't let that happen to you guys later on. But anything, I mean, you know, my video games, some of you that love to play video games. Really, you're going to play video games all the time. You even not going to have a time for God. I mean, come on, let's be real. Anything can become a thorn. I spend more time watching TV or doing other things than just really doing something that's going to grow me into Christ. You know, and so all of us can be guilty of that at times. That's why we have to make sure that, you know, our hearts is receptive to that we force ourselves, like, Lord, I don't want anything to intervene. I want to grow into the person you call me to do. That lady that I told you about, her name is Tammy. She's busy. She also was a veteran war, we found out Friday. And she's just getting another job. And to me, I want to say, how is it you find time to come on Friday and even to do that homework? Like, she doesn't even want a handout. When I give the handout, she has it on the computer already. And I said to her, in my years of ministry, I had never seen somebody like that. Like, it's almost like testing me. Like, give me the outline ahead of time. It's like, wow. Like I said, I had to get it ready by tomorrow or Tuesday because she's going to text me. You know, she wanted it ready. It's almost like, wow. Have a receptive heart. People that, you know, when it comes to their lives, it's all about Jesus Christ. Because I want to grow in His Word. Like I said, this parable is very encouraging to me, some of the preachers, because we realize it's not our job to grow you. It's not our job to mature. to mature you. It's your job. Our job is to guide you where you need to go. And I'm doing this in here already. Thank God that you gave me this job, and it's easy in that sense that my job is to scatter the seed. Every time somebody gets up here or you read the word of God is being scattered, it's being planted. And it's going to be up to you how you receive it in order for it to affect you. You understand what I'm saying? How you receive it, it's going to tell what kind of heart you have. If it's hard, shallow, or thorny, how you receive this thing. But when you listen to it somewhere, when you go to a Bible study, when you read that on your own, the word of God is being scattered, it's being planted. And what the effect that it's going to have is going to depend on the soil that you have. So my question for you is, what kind of soil you have? What kind of heart do you have? As long as I be here with you guys in Staten Island, my job will continue to be sowing the seed. I just did that for about 25, 30 minutes. Israel was preaching about the parable of the sower, and he sowed the seed, and he fell on some hearts around here in the Staten Island Christian Church and some of the visitors we have. Some fell on the path because, it's shallow or hard. Some fell on rocks, shallow response. Some is falling in thorny. There's still other things competing with the Word of God. And some is, I'm doing it because I know that at least there's some that's going to be receptive and they're growing. And I've seen it happening already. And that's encouraging to me as a preacher. You know, when I see people like, thank you. I mean, that spoke to me and I'm growing. And it's like, encouraging because I realize, Lord, thank you, because I know that you're using me in that capacity. And yes, you get the glory, but I rejoice because of what's happening. I'm able to help out grow because my job was to give you the word. And you did with it what you needed to do. Like I said, I just got done sowing seed. Now, with what kind of heart will you receive that today? What kind of heart do you have to receive the word of God when it's preached to you, announced to you? As you read it, as you hear, remember, faith comes from hearing. You know, that's why sometimes in churches, like for years, you go through and you teach and people, you don't see a lot of sign of maturity in them. And finally, I realized that's why. Because some of them are not receiving it. Some of them are not receptive. It has nothing to do with the preacher or whoever's announcing it. It's just that they don't, maybe they don't like the preacher, or maybe but somewhere Satan is coming, stealing that, and the word of God is just falling flat. It's taken away. Don't let the word of God to be taken away from you. Let it penetrate. Let it germinate in you so you then can grow, produce fruit. And God will get the glory. I mean, look at the harvest I was able to produce because that one was receptive. They heard, they believed, they retained it, and they persevere. And by persevering, Jesus said, they produce the harvest. That's my prayer for all of us, church. That we always be receptive to the word of God. Not just when I'm preaching it right here, but even when you read it, when you hear it, it's not about me. The moment somebody says about the word of God, they're sowing seeds. And their hope is, their prayer, that your heart be receptive.